This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, number 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. We are red hot rolling this Saturday, September 23rd, 2023. Walter, how we doing, my friend?
The highways filled with broken heroes of a last chance power drive, I heard.
Outstanding. Anyways, we want to say hello to some of our special listeners, including Little Billy Keebler and the men and the alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers, be safe one and all. Anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember the men and the women of law enforcement who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight's a tough one. We remember Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer of the Los Angeles County, California Sheriff's Office, end of watch, September 16th, 2023. Deputy Klinkenbrumer was on duty, just leaving the station. Some degenerate, for whatever reason, rolled up, discharged a firearm, striking Deputy Klinkenbrumer, and the family said that the shooter had mental issues. Anyways, we remember Deputy Klinkenbrumer and the men and the women of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Like we said always, you know, it's a war on cops. We've been saying this since almost 10 years now, man. Nothing gets done. But anyways, moving right along, I saw the weirdest thing earlier this week. I saw a Tesla, which is a very common vehicle here in the Washington, D.C. area. 10 years ago, everybody was driving a Toyota Prius, but now the new status symbol is a Tesla. If you roll around a Tesla, then you're somebody important. But if you're driving a gas guzzler POS like yours truly, then you're not. So anyways, on this Tesla was a government license plate. I took a closer look and even took a picture, and it's on the webpage. The government is now using Teslas as fleet vehicles. And I was shocked because for a number of reasons. Number one, average Tesla runs about $40,000. The cheapest Tesla runs about $40,000. And well, since the government buys a bulk, I'm sure they get a discount. But still, it's up there with luxury cars or Cadillacs, Beamers, and Mercedes automobiles. And then the federal government has issues against Elon Musk, including not hiring refugees and asylum seekers, i.e. illegal aliens, at SpaceX. You know, the SpaceX is a private company. They can hire whoever they want. So why would they hire refugees? I mean, they only have so many spots for people cleaning the floors. Musk was also investigated by the Federal Trade Commission as it was disclosed that mass layoffs at Twitter, and FTC was trying to train internal communications as part of its oversight. So the government's overseeing Twitter with a Federal Trade Commission, and they're going after Musk for that because he laid off a bunch of people, and he's not going to play ball. And I met a gentleman today that knows a lot, but we'll just keep it at that. Government's investigated Musk over acquisition of Twitter. And the federal government subsidized Tesla. That's right. Uncle Sam subsidized Tesla in the tune of billions of dollars. Also, his company SpaceX also gets subsidized by Uncle Sam by billions of dollars. And the funny thing about Tesla is that the average income of a Tesla owner is $120,000. I'm used to seeing, you know, Fords and Chevys and other boxes of crap rolling along that I can afford. But now they went up to Tesla because that's a status symbol. But anyways, our buddy Charlie Duff, who might be joining us later this evening, he does a great breakdown on electric vehicles because, for instance, electric vehicles, they cost more to maintain than regular gas-powered cars. The power grid is not set up for everybody to go buy Teslas, and the government is pushing companies to make nothing but electric vehicles by, I think it's 2035. So, and nobody's buying these cars. You don't see, other than D.C. and I'm sure California and all these hoity-toity places where people have money, you go to the Midwest, nobody's driving Teslas. You go up north, nobody's driving Teslas. And, you know, it's not a real practical car, especially if you do Uber, you do food deliveries, you drive a taxi, and it's not practical because they're only good for so many miles, and it takes, you know, 4 to 8 hours to recharge. And if you're a cab driver, you know, that's costing you money. Well, what say you about the government buying Teslas at fleet vehicles?
Well, you know, I looked this up a little bit, you know, when you sent me a text a little bit earlier. So I looked up a little bit. And in 2010, the Department of Energy gave Elon Musk almost $500 million, okay? Now, we know who was president in 2010. So, you know, this is nothing new about the push for electric vehicles. But actually, it wasn't the Department of Energy that gave them money. It was, you know, Joe and Jane taxpayer that gave the money for this. Now, you know, I don't like it. I don't want my elected officials driving a Tesla. I don't want them to. Apparently, this, you know, skipped through 2016 to 2020, and in 2021, this is when Biden come up with, you know, the 2035 limit to get everybody inside of an electric vehicle of some sort. Now, yeah, there's a lot of money that's gone to the Tesla Corporation, the Ford Corporation, General Motors to produce these electric cars. And like you said, you see a lot of these Teslas, and I'm sure there's other electric cars in the bigger places, you know, like D.C. and San Francisco, New York and such. I guess we're going to come back to this, huh?
Yep. When we come back, we'll finish up with Teslas. Also, a D.C. insider throws Mayor Giuliani under the bus as the book's coming out. Also, we might have a friend of the show come back at the halfway point through the show. Take it away, boys.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine. the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, 7-5 Radio, Walt Yerkue, Scoop Stanton, talking about the federal government purchasing Teslas. Before our awesome sponsors interrupted our your thought, go right, please continue.
Yeah, the Teslas, you know, these electric vehicles are in, you know, major cities. You know, Washington, of course, you said, and, you know, New York, Chicago, you know, all the big places, you know, where all the quote-unquote big shots hang out. But down here in the, you know, in the middle of the mountains in Tennessee, they don't drive Teslas. Out in the desert, they're not going to drive a Tesla. You know, it's easy to carry, you know, a 5-gallon can of gas, you know, when you're driving a gas vehicle across the desert in case you run out. And, you know, there's no filling station, as Andy Griffith would say, for Tesla in the desert. So that it doesn't work for everybody by 2035. And getting back to the government ordering these vehicles and the government employees driving around, you know, being issued these, hey, I don't want them driving around in this stuff, this expensive stuff. You know, like, you know, you said a little bit earlier, you know, what's wrong with a Chevy? You know, what's wrong with, you know, a 2002 Chevy or a 2010 Pontiac? You know, what's wrong with these cars? Absolutely nothing. Drive them around in there. Throw some government plates on those things, man. Stop killing us in taxes because, you know, these people want to drive around in something space agey. You know, next thing you know, we're going to be paying for their taxi cabs to get to the space station so they can fly around up there. It's way out of hand. I remember a long time ago when Ed Koch was the mayor of New York, and his car that he drove, that he was driven around in, I think it was an old Bonneville, 4-door, dark blue, and he wanted to get, you know, something newer, and the city council turned him down. So why can't, you know, this happen now with these $40,000, $80,000, $90,000, $110,000 cars that our elected officials want to drive around in? You know, it's just utterly ridiculous that we have to pay for that too. And I'm driving around. My newest vehicle is a 2002 Toyota Avalon. There's something wrong with this picture here. There's something wrong with this picture. We're spending way too much money on stuff we don't need to be spending on. If it was up to me, like I said, you know, I'd go to the junkyard, round up some good old Chevys, make the motors run, and start passing them out. You know, if they don't like it, then they can buy their own car. So, hey, right. I'm dead set against this electric vehicle ridiculousness. It's not going to last. You know, as soon as Biden is out of the White House, it's going to drop like a bad habit.
Right. And there's recently the Department Secretary of Energy decided to do a 500-mile trip from, I think, North Carolina to Tennessee It took 4 days for 500 miles because with electric cars. And the Secretary of Energy, I forgot her name, she was trailed with Chevy SUVs. And then there was an incident along the travel route that the government vehicles were blocking charging stations out of Walmart because the caravan of electric cars with the Secretary of Energy, some other government officials, needed to pull up and charge up. And a mother with an electric car, she needed to charge her car because she obviously low on battery, and she had a small child with her, so she called the police and said, hey, I need to, somebody's blocking the charging station. I need to charge my car and get my AC to my kid. But, you know, that's your government work. You know, we're going to take a trip from point A to point B.
I'll make a deal. I'll make a deal with Creepy Joe. Okay. I'll make a deal with Creepy Joe. Okay. If he stops sniffing 12-year-old female's hair and gets an Air Force One that runs on battery power, I'll buy a Tesla.
Right. Right. Just like Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was seen riding a bicycle in Northwest D.C. For about a quarter mile. And then he stopped, got off the bike, put the bike in the back of a government Suburban or Tahoe, and then went on his way. So these people are full of crap. As usual, and just the government's just absolutely corrupt, and $33 trillion in debt, and we gotta blow money on Teslas. Anyways, speaking of DC again, Rudy Giuliani's name came up again. It turns out the this DC insider named Cassidy Hutchinson wrote a book claiming that Mayor Giuliani groped her at the January 6th rally, and she came out with this 6 days before her book came out. Now, what gets me is that Cassidy Hutchinson has a credibility problem. She was at the testified at the January 6th committee against Trump and party, stating that President Trump, or she heard that President Trump, while riding in back of the beast, or i.e. presidential limo, he got up, demanded go to the White House, back to Capitol Hill or the rally, and grabbed the steering wheel from a Secret Service agent. Problem is, Secret Service does not call the presidential limo the beast. Number two, he was in a SUV. Number three, Donald Trump is in his mid-70s, 6 foot three. He's got some weight on him, wearing a long overcoat. So the chance of him doing some James Bond stuff is slim to none. Now, back to Mayor Giuliani. It seems that once he started working for Donald Trump, all of a sudden, he's a pervert. When he was U.S. attorney, no allegations. When he was mayor of the city of New York for 8 years, no allegations. When he ran his own company, no allegations. When he was a private citizen before he got hired, nobody said anything. But all of a sudden, he starts working for Donald Trump as his private attorney, and all these allegations came out. He is the subject of a lawsuit from his former secretary, said that she was hired as a sex slave of some sort, and just really ridiculous. And so this Cassidy Hutchinson, who was found out to be a liar, testifying under oath concerning President Trump, said that Rudy Giuliani groped her at the January 6th rally. Problem is, there's no witnesses. Nobody came out to corroborate her story, unlike, say, like Bill Cosby, where everybody came out of the woodwork and said the exact same thing. So I'm calling Bravo Sierra. Well, any words about Ms. Hutchinson and her book claiming Giuliani was naughty?
You know, anybody could say anything about anybody these days, and, you know, they don't have to prove its validity, except that, you know, they have the nerve, the cojones to say it. It's very difficult to bring slander against someone who's saying something untrue, because it's hard to disprove. All you can pretty much do is deny it and ignore it, you know, and eventually, you know, a fake story will, you know, go away. Nobody's going to give a rat's butt in 76 years from now, reading this bimbo's book, you know, about, you know, the New York City mayor that took us out of the Slutville, USA, and into the 21st century, and, you know, and pretty much healed the nation, you know, let alone New York City, the nation, from the 9/11 attacks. So nobody's going to care what this idiot says in a year and a half. Everybody's looking for their 15 minutes of fame. It seems to be the thing these days of since Donald Trump took office. People just want their 15 minutes of fame, you know, talking smack about, you know, somebody else, you know, talking smack about Trump, talking about smack about his wife, about his kids, good luck to our friend, you know, Rudy Giuliani. He's an outstanding guy. For some reason, like you said, U.S. Attorney General, pretty much put the mafia out of business. And now he's a pariah for fodder for some loose lips.
Right.
Right.
Look at Bill Clinton. Everything that came out, everything that was proven, including out-of-court settlements with non-disclosure agreements. Gary Byrne wrote a book about how he had to try to help cover up the White House because he had so much respect for the office, not for him, but for the office. But anyways, if you're Democrat, you're okay, but God forbid if you're a Republican, you know, you're damned to hell. Anyways, we'll be right back with Gano's Wet at the other end of this break. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Skip Kelly. Residents in parts of coastal North Carolina and Virginia experienced flooding Saturday after Tropical Storm Ophelia made landfall near a North Carolina barrier island. She brought rain, damaging winds, and dangerous surges. Ophelia is expected to sweep northeast Sunday along the mid-Atlantic coast to New Jersey. At 7:44 tonight, the National Hurricane Center said that Ophelia had slowed to become a tropical depression, which is a weak form of a tropical storm, and all storm surge and tropical storm warnings had been discontinued. Encounters with illegal immigrants at the southwest border were up 27% from July to August, according to the latest numbers from Customs and Border Protection. The increase was driven mostly by apprehensions. Officials largely attribute the rising numbers to smuggling networks. The White House is urging Congress to pass funding legislation and avoid a government shutdown.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says so far, the House is not doing its job.
Having accomplished nothing this week, they have all decided to go home. That's not delivering for the American people. It's chaos. It's failing. It's actually failing the American people.
She's criticized a faction of conservative Republicans for pushing extreme bills with slim chances in the Democratic-controlled Senate. Congress must pass a funding bill by month's end to prevent a government shutdown. I'm John Schaefer.
President Biden is set to visit Detroit on Tuesday to join the picket line and stand in solidarity with the men and women of United Auto Workers. The union has expanded its strike of assembly plants for General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis to include parts distribution centers for two of the automakers in 20 states. This puts more than 18,000 workers on the picket lines. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy proclaims today as Bruce Springsteen Day in tribute to the New Jersey-born rock icon. Murphy believes that if anyone merits a day in their honor, it's Bruce Springsteen, and it's fitting that September 23rd is also the rock legend's birthday. This is USA News.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Welcome to the Continental.
From the world of John Wick comes a Peacock original three-part event that takes us back to 1970s New York. The Continental.
This institution wields power beyond your imagination.
Let's take this house and everything that comes with it.
The Continental, from the world of John Wick. Streaming now.
And away we go.
Only on Peacock.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, 7-5 Radio, with Walter Yerkew, yours truly, Scoop Stanton, and our friend of the show, brother-in-arms, Charlie LaDuff. Last week, Mr. LaDuff attempted to call in using the hotline. Unfortunately, I was using the last number of the hotline to listen an operator talk dirty to me while I was doing the show. I'm able to do a couple things at once. Unfortunately, Mr. LaDuff wasn't able to come on. So I apologize to Mr. LaDuff for telling him he has an open seat at our table and I'm listening to phone sex operators. Mr. LaDuff, how are we doing tonight?
You're bothering me, man. I told you this last minute of Ohio State Notre Dame.
All right. Well,
losing.
Okay.
Good news.
Ohio State is losing to Notre Dame. Somebody else on the network, they will delay their appearance on this awesome show for sports. Anyways, the president, the commander in chief, is going to Detroit concerning the labor strike. Even though, well, he announced it after the fact. Donald Trump said he's going to Detroit to talk to the auto workers during the second presidential debate, which is absolutely brilliant because with Trump leading by 50, 60 points, why would he get in a debate where 7-8 people with polling at 1 or 2% beat up on him? So he's going to go talk to the voters instead of dealing with that blank show on Fox News. So anyways, it'd be very... Charlie, you still watching the game, or should we continue? Wait till
no,
and
no, I
watching.
Walked away there.
Okay, Charlie, what's your opinion of Biden going to Detroit after the fact? His opponent in the upcoming presidential race announced he's going to go to Detroit to talk to the union workers.
I don't care about that part. That's not the important part. I mean, you know what that is, right? Yeah, it's a lame PR move by a lame administration, but it's something bigger than that because it's the first time a president of the United States is going to show support at a picket line. I mean, during the steel strikes of the 50s, neither Truman or Eisenhower did that. Now, you'll maybe have the principals to the White House to, you know, encourage him to, you know, get a deal done. But now he's got to own this. You know what I mean? If this thing goes on, because the UAW is asking for the moon, and I'm not exactly against it. They're playing an interesting game of hardball, one the Big Three's never seen before, which is sort of rolling strikes and unannounced. Normally, it's been for the last 70 years. You pick one company. You can either strike the whole company. You can strike a couple of factories, something like that. But they're striking all three at once, and this Friday, they increased it. So what's going to happen is I think this thing's going to elongate. It's going to take a while. And if it takes a while, watch what the economy does, because one of the real big measures of inflation are used car prices, you know, new cars, but, you know, used cars. And if there aren't any new cars coming out, used cars will go up. Inflation will go up. The Fed will have to raise interest rates. We get back into that cycle. So to me, I don't think, you know, if I'm advising a guy, it's the best idea, but it's election season. So when you're this guy's less popular at this time than Harry Truman was. Harry Truman was so unpopular, he decided not to run again. And the guy's got to roll the dice. That's the way I see it.
Wow. Walt, what say you about the Biden going to Detroit to pick it with the union workers?
Well, I hope he doesn't come back to Washington, that's for sure. They could keep him up there for all I care. I don't know. He's going to strike with the United Auto Workers. United Auto Workers are building fossil fuel vehicles. So, you know, the guy's a hypocrite across the board. They're not going to want nothing to do with him because he's trying to stop all the fossil fuel vehicles from being built. And they're not equipped in all these big factories to switch over to the electric golf carts that he wants everybody to drive around in by 2035. So it's not going to go over.
It'll cost
well
a lot of jobs.
Detroit, right? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think that's true.
He's already put the pipeline people out of work, okay, 3 years ago. He already put them out of work. So he closed the pipeline. So now what you're going to do?
I don't think that's true, in the sense that.
Well, okay. Well, let me freaking finish. The United Auto Workers Union has been around for a long, long time. Okay, and here comes this old man that just somebody's telling them it's got to change because they want it to change, not because it has to change. They want it to change. But what do they want it to change for? Is it for the better of the United Auto Workers Union, auto workers? No, it's not. So he's not going to be
well.
He's not going to get a good reception at all.
Yes,
he might have a few people.
Look, man, I live up here, and I got to cover it. You might live in the woods and down there where, you know, they don't want unions. They'll take cars. You know, Alabama got 50,000 auto workers now, and in the 90s, they had 500. But this is a short-term deal. This is a real short-term deal in the sense of this. The auto companies have been sucking off the American people for well over two decades now, just been taking tax breaks and cash payments and that, you know, bailouts and this and that. And then, you know, they pocket the money, they make record profits, they're making selling fewer cars, but making record profits. They want a piece because since the country collapsed in 2008, when you add inflation in and what they gave away, et cetera, they've lost 20%. So it's time to pay a worker his fair share. So, but that's not going to last very long. That's where you're correct, Walt. They're really angry about electric cars that people are not buying, that the government is subsidizing people to buy. It takes a third of the parts to make an electric car. That's jobs. We're not ready for them. We can't afford them. The grid can't handle them. And so I think what you see is it's going to be pretty good when we get their four-year contract. And the long-term ramifications are – what are the Southerners going to do? I know a lot of Southern auto workers, and they don't want the UAW because they know everything's getting planned to be moved to Mexico anyway. So what does UAW actually do for you? Well, if they can get a good contract, now you're going to learn it. But if you look at the global economy and the way these international companies work now, everybody's going to leave. I can see the executives up here going, oh, they caught us. They caught us with our pants down. Give me a 5 to 10 year plan to get everything out of the North. And that's what scares me.
Right. And Charlie, you brought up a good point. If the UAW keeps pushing for higher wages and better benefits, for example, we talked last week that for every car General Motors sells, $1,500 goes towards the medical insurance of employees, retirees, and their families. What's stopping the big three from moving out of Detroit and just moving south of the border?
Well, they have. They build a Silverado in Mexico, right? They're planning to build the EVs in Tennessee and Kentucky. They have a lot. You know, the Mach-E, the Ford electric Mustang, that's in Hermosillo. So they already have, and I don't know where it goes, but you have to remember, the current workers don't get that medical anymore. And the current workers don't get cost of living adjustment anymore. And the current workers get half the wage that the old time workers get. So I get it. I really do. But look, man, I look at it like this. This is an era of tribalism, right? It's so fractured. Everybody trying to get theirs. You know, the ultra liberal, the MAGA crowd, the police, like everybody's just tribing up because it's, you got to do for each other. So I can't really blame the UAW, the auto worker, for trying to get something, making as much as a hamburger flipper. I mean, I get that. So macroeconomically and futuristically, dude, we're in for a nightmare, I think.
Wow. But Charlie, let's back up. So the auto worker that, say, came on the job 5 years ago, he's not making as much as the auto worker started from 10 years ago?
No, he's making $16 to like $19 an hour. $16, dude. And right, wow. you don't get to like come up to scale for 8 years.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, it's time to share the wealth. I mean, that's not socialistic.
Right. Anyways, we'll come back. We got more Charlie Duff. Talk about the auto workers union and what else we got going on. Stay tuned, everybody.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Final segment on 7-5 Radio, the fastest hour in radio, with yours truly, Walter Yurkow, and our friend Charlie LaDuff. Going over the UAW strike. Charlie, why would the union agree to lower wages for the incoming members? I mean, that's kind of, you know, you're kind of screwing your members of the people who pay dues to the union.
Well, I got some breaking news. Ohio State just beat Notre Dame in South Bend on the last play of regulation. So there you go.
Oh, it's...
There's no two teams I hate more than those two. But why would the UAW agree to lower wages back then?
Yeah.
Well, because the auto companies went bankrupt. They were going to be gone. So you could look at it like they made their concessions. I've been thinking about this. I'm a rational guy. I try to think about macroeconomics, you know, the world economy, you know, inflation, that kind of thing. And I just sat with myself and thought about this. And at some point, the working man has to share and these – look, GM made record profits in the history of GM last quarter. Ford, the second most profits ever. Stellantis, you know, that's now a consortium of Peugeot and Jeep and, yeah, right, and Dodge and Ram. They made record profits. They're only about 2-3 years old, but they, you know, they made record profits. So when does that start trickling down to working people? Tucker Carlson, when it's asked me, said, he goes, do you support unions? And I go, well, dude, I'm from Detroit, and I was raised like this. When was it ever considered socialism that a working man should share in the profit? That's what made us great. And so I in principle, I do. And then he said, well, name me a good union. And I said, no. You never get in the way of a person in his or her union. The people will decide if their union's good for them. And that, to me, is going to be the story here, because I'm not so sure how long this is going to last. And Sean Fain, the new head of the UAW, who came up from the line, is pretty hardcore about this. So we're going to see. But I definitely think the working people should get a good bump.
Right. I mean, of course, especially the Bidenomics that we're going through. But here's a question. I'm playing devil's advocate. So say the UAW gets whatever they want, say like $45 an hour. But what's not to say that if the big three takes another nosedive for whatever reason, because of economics or people not buying their cars, what's not to say that they take a pay cut?
Well, they can't. That's called the contract, right?
Right.
But you make a good point. What happens if things go sideways for the big three, right? It is a global market. It's heavy competition. Even currently right now, Tesla's like $20 an hour less when everything's added in, you know, it's not like the current worker is making more than the Tesla worker. It's when you add in all the retirees from the old days, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if you really look at what the new person's getting, I don't think they're at level with Tesla or Volkswagen down in Chattanooga or, you know, things like that.
Right, right. There's
a lot of legacy costs in all this.
Right. Here's a question. We've been talking about Teslas earlier. Is there a lot of Teslas in Detroit?
Not particularly, no.
Oh, because, I mean, down here in D.C., since it's a, you know, like a luxury car and status symbol, every other car is a Tesla. 10 years ago, it was a Toyota Prius. And so, but now they're, you know, everybody's got to drive a Tesla because it's either a Tesla or a Subaru.
But Prius makes sense to me. You know, that's the bridge. I mean, I really doubt personally that we're going to get to this electric future. I mean, there's not even enough minerals. You know, there's not enough infrastructure. You know, look at Jennifer Granholm getting the cops called on her because everybody's, bum rushing the one charging plug.
Charlie, you must have been listening to us while you're watching the football game, because we just talked about that. In fact, we cited your clip from about that story. But anyways, I digress. Well, you got anything to add to this story concerning the UAW and unions and cars?
No, I don't. I mean, you know what I said earlier, I'll stand by, and you know, I understand what Charlie is saying, and you know, and I agree with some of the stuff that he says. And as far as Biden going there to support, you know, like, you know, if anybody in Detroit is driving around in an electric car, I think, you know, they'll be in the crosshairs of UAW workers, and they'll be blown off the street. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's the pride that they have up there in Detroit, I believe, because they've been building cars for, you know, forever. They've been building cars longer than Joe Biden's been sniffing little girls' hair. So they've been busy for a long time.
And you know what Jim Farley said, Walt, about electric cars? The CEO of Ford told Brett Baer on Fox News. I thought this was incredible, and nobody picked up on it. He said that, you know, the market share, the people that create the market, regular people, aren't buying them because they can't afford them, and they have charging anxiety, meaning there's no infrastructure. So Brett Baer says, just say it, it's not going to work. And Ford or Farley says, well, the government wants it to work, but I think somewhere between 30, 40, 50% of their fleet, right? But you have to remember, this is the same guy a year ago telling the country, telling Wall Street, by 2035, we're all electric. So here's a guy, in my opinion, who's grubbing for, you know, share price, right? It just drive up the price because that's what people like to hear on Wall Street. It's not even realistic. He gets paid in stock. He retires. He cashes it out. He moves on. But it's a pipe dream. In Michigan, whenever it rains, like 500,000 people lose power. So how is it like everybody's going to plug in these cars they can't afford? It makes no sense.
Hey,
it's Bidenomics.
Speaking of Michigan, do they ever fix Flint?
Oh, dude, don't. That's my column in the Detroit News for next week. No, in fact, we have such a look. There's liberals, and I like liberals, but Democrats are like, you know, it's a party, Soviet party of BS. So our Attorney General Dana Nessel, very political, just lost the case. The Supreme Court told her to go walking. So 9.5 years later, no criminal charges. Not one of these fat cats is going to do a single day in jail. It's really disappointing, man. It's outrageous, in fact.
Well, what's going to happen is all these guys, they're so damn old now. You got, you know, Pelosi, Creepy Joe, the Clintons, you know, they're all getting in their elder years now. Okay, so what's going to happen is once they all drop dead, that's when people are going to say, oh, we should have put him in jail. That's when all these phonies are going to start screaming that we should have put them in jail. We should have put them in jail, you know. So
well, I've been thinking about this. It's like, I mean, if you're a liberal, you care about old people in nursing homes and you care about young, kids who are poor. So we have a bunch of people die in the nursing home during COVID. We didn't count. We got a bunch of poor young kids getting poisoned with lead, and they don't do anything. They're not liberals. They're Democrats. They're fat cats.
Right. It Charlie, not to interject, but I will. You know, these people always talk about the poor minorities in these food desert neighborhoods, but they live far, far away from those people. So they care about them, but they're hauling ass away back to the suburbs in the Teslas.
Yeah, and even the political class that lives in the urban areas, right? They're taking checks. Nothing ever improves. Millions and billions funnel in to these areas, but the people never see it. The schools are abject, right? The supermarkets, man, you can't get police to come. It's all getting stolen.
Yep.
Nobody might as well do it for your audience.
It's not a top priority anymore.
My God, what is that? Nobody supports that. Nobody. Nope. Ask anybody in the neighborhood. Oh, hell no. Junkies laying around? Not in Detroit. Get the hell out of here. It's insane.
Yep. Well, it seems like it's all by design. You know, China's buying all this farmland, buying all this land next to military installations. Nobody says a flipping word.
How about we just talk about the border?
Right.
My goodness. I covered that thing for 10 years. Never seen anything like that. Never. Oh, okay, I got one. I got some breaking news for you guys. My buddy works for the Center for Immigration Studies. In the last year, the Biden administration has been secretly flying people into the United States on that Border Patrol app to any city of their destination and letting them go. Totally just jumping the immigration system. So people... You don't even have to go to the border now. You just get a hold of the Americans in your home country, fly in, they'll give you permission. It was a quarter million people last year, just from four countries.
Jesus. And Charlie, that's insane. Not to interrupt. What about that guy in Dearborn you're looking for? Who was that guy?
There was a guy from Venezuela born in Lebanon who's on the terror watch list. They caught him in December 2021. He's chubby. They were worried he'd get COVID, so they let him in. He's over here in Detroit now. Still hasn't been to an immigration judge. Wow.
Wow. Anyways, wow. Unfortunately, that's the end of it. Right. Charlie, next time we have you on, you got to come on the top of the hour. But anyways, for Walter Yerkew and Charlie Duff, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out, make it, and do not comply. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.